Turn with me, not to Exodus, as we are taking a small break from our series through Exodus because of Palm Sunday and Easter. Instead, we'll be looking at the Gospels this morning, Luke chapter 19. We'll be looking at verses, it's going to be 29 through 40, but this is the Luke's record of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Once you've located Luke chapter 19, if you'd please stand out of respect for God's word as it's read. Luke chapter 19, we're starting at verse 29. This is, once more, I remind you, the inerrant, infallible, and authoritative word of the living God. When he, meaning Jesus, drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent away and found it, just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they sat Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" May God bless to our understanding and application the reading of his inerrant and infallible word. Please be seated. For some of us here, probably most of us here, this is a somewhat familiar passage. This is a familiar event in Jesus' life, this so-called triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Probably churches all over the world today are preaching from this text or one of its parallels in one of the other Gospels, because we commemorate Palm Sunday, because this is what happened Palm Sunday so many years ago. We call it Palm Sunday, and Luke does us a disservice in this, by the way, because he doesn't talk about the crowds laying down palms in front of Jesus. That's in Matthew's gospel. He talks about them laying their cloaks on the road in front of Jesus as he's coming down. So we can call this Cloak Sunday, if that makes you feel better. But we are celebrating Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, this is the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem took place 1 week before his resurrection. This is the day when everyone was excited about Jesus. Everyone was thrilled about Jesus. They were excited because Jesus came to fulfill prophecies, they felt. Jesus was coming into Jerusalem to sit on David's throne once more, to rout the enemies of the Israelite people, of the Hebrew people, and to establish the glory of Israel once more. And so we understand maybe why, after reading Psalm 118 this morning, why they would use that particular psalm, because in it, if you remember back that far, there was much rejoicing because the Lord was with the king who was coming in, and he was routing his enemies and sending them away and cutting them off from before him. And so the people were thinking of that particular psalm, that particular prophecy, as Jesus was riding on that donkey into Jerusalem. We, of course, know what happens over this next week. We know the story, and we know what takes place between Palm Sunday or Cloak Sunday and Easter, Resurrection Sunday. As excited as the crowds are on this day, they very quickly turn on him. And in just a few days, they go from shouting, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," to shouts of, "Crucify him, crucify him." Why does Luke put this in our Bible? Why does the Holy Spirit have Luke put this in our Bible? Is it so that we can have the emotional highs and lows of going along with the crowds? Is it just so we can understand a little bit more of Jesus' story and what led to his crucifixion? Or is it more than that? Well, I would say it's way more than that. This account of the triumphal entry is put in all of the Gospels and here in Luke's Gospel as we look at it this morning, because Luke is teaching us something, or rather the Holy Spirit through Luke is teaching us something. We need to see for ourselves the many messianic prophecies that are being fulfilled by Jesus throughout his public ministry, but especially here in this one event of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Well, we need to remind ourselves of what's going on in Jesus' public ministry. We've spent so much time in Exodus lately that we have to re-shift gears and come back into the New Testament, back into the Gospels, and remember that for 3 years prior to this day that we read about here in Luke, Jesus has been going around in what is called his public ministry. He has been all over that area. He has been performing many, many miracles, healing everyone who comes to him, telling them that he forgives them of their sins. He is able to command all of creation, telling wind to stop blowing, waves to stop rolling. Right? He's even able to raise people from the dead. He feeds thousands of people with thousands and thousands of people with just small lunches. So this is all the background to what's happening here as Jesus is on that donkey coming down into Jerusalem. We also need to remember that in that whole time of his public ministry, he was always very careful to tell all of his disciples, and in fact all of his, not just his close disciples, but all those who were following him, all of his followers, to keep his identity as the Messiah a secret. He would always tell people, he would heal them and say, but don't tell anyone about this. Of course, they would immediately disobey and run off and tell everyone about what happened. But Jesus was very careful, telling his disciples and others, don't tell people who I am. It's not yet time for me to be revealed as the Messiah. It's not yet time for my identity as the Son of Man to be known publicly. He knew what was coming. He needed to wait until it was time for him to march himself, as it were, into Jerusalem, knowing that he was going to his death, knowing that he was going to give himself as a sacrifice in your place on the cross, knowing that our sins were about to be heaped upon him, and the whole wrath of God for our sins, for our trespasses, for our rebellion was going to be placed on his shoulders, and he would suffer that wrath for our salvation, for our forgiveness. As Jesus is on that donkey coming into Jerusalem, things change in the Gospels. The time had now come for Jesus to boldly, openly proclaim who he is. And so when you look at Luke's Gospel and you look at the other Gospels around this time of the triumphal entry, all of a sudden Jesus is not shy about claiming the title Son of Man, a messianic title, where he very lovingly identifies with us as sinners. Jesus is the Son of Man. Jesus is the Son of David. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior, the Anointed One. And Luke demonstrates this for us in this passage. See, what Luke wants us to do is when we look at the triumphal entry, is to look past the emotionalism of it, at least at one aspect, and understand that what we see here is proof positive once more that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the fulfillment of all these prophecies. And Luke is showing us how that is true so that you can have assurance of your faith. You can have the assurance that your faith is placed in the true Messiah, the right Messiah, the only Messiah and Savior. And Luke demonstrates this for us by showing how Jesus fulfills prophecy. Remember, this is the very beginning of, it's the very beginning of the end, if that makes sense. It's the beginning, it's the end of Jesus' public ministry. This is where it transitions over to what we call his passion, that last week of his life. And so Luke has already shown in the first 19, 18 chapters how Jesus has fulfilled prophecy with his birth, with his ministry, with his miracles that he's done. And now he's showing us how Jesus is fulfilling prophecy even in his entrance into Jerusalem as he's preparing to give himself as a sacrifice for many, fulfilling other prophecies that we will look at, Lord willing, next week. So Luke is demonstrating for us, assuring us that our faith is well-founded, our faith is well-placed in the Lord Jesus, because we see over and over again how he has fulfilled prophecy. But before we look at that, I want you to take your Bible and flip ahead a few books to what the Apostle Paul wrote to us in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is a great place to memorize, because in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul defines the gospel for us. And I want us to look at that really quick. I want you to look at what Paul wrote, because Jesus entering Jerusalem is part of what Paul is writing about here. It's part of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. The apostle writes, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." And notice that the Apostle Paul ties everything back to what the Scriptures say, right? He isn't saying, well, this is my opinion on who Jesus is. This is my opinion on the gospel. He says, what I am telling you, I learned from God's word. What I am telling you is the gospel, the good news of our salvation, is just from the Old Testament, what we would call the Old Testament. This is just in accordance with Scriptures. Jesus fulfilled those things, which is how we can say he is the Messiah, which is how we can say our sins are forgiven, which is how we can have such certainty that our faith is not misplaced. Everything that Jesus did was in accordance with the Scriptures, and his entrance into Jerusalem is no exception to that. What we see in this morning's passage in Luke is that Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, even the manner of his entrance, riding on a donkey, is essential. It's necessary for the gospel to be true. Think about that for a moment. If Jesus had walked into Jerusalem, he would not be the Savior. If Jesus had walked, if he had not ridden on a donkey, the gospel is not true. Our faith is misplaced in Jesus because he is not the Messiah. If just that one thing were different. And so Luke makes sure to tell us that Jesus rode on a donkey into Jerusalem so that, again, one more prophecy is fulfilled. When we look at verses 28 through 34 of our passage in Luke, we find a very curious story. Now, we're used to it. We know about it. We know the story. We've heard it since we were in Sunday school as children. Our moms, our grandmas probably taught us this. If you've grown up in the church, you know the story. You think of it, Jesus riding on that cute little donkey coming in, and you think that's neat. But we never stop to think that here in the middle of the triumphal entry, in this passage that is so filled with anticipation, that there's this really weird, curious story about Jesus sending his disciples on an errand to go steal a donkey. Have you ever thought of that? That's kind of an odd place for this to be. Why would Luke spend so much time telling us, in great detail, seemingly, about Jesus going and getting a donkey from a very particular place? In particular, an animal. Why not a different animal? Why not an ox? Probably weren't as many horses around, but why not a horse? It'd be more dignified riding in on a horse. Well, the answer is what we just read from 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus did that because it was in accordance with Scripture. Now, Luke doesn't make it explicit here. The other gospel writers did. Matthew does, for example, points out that Jesus riding in to Jerusalem on a donkey is a fulfillment of Scripture. Luke expects us to know that. In Jesus getting that donkey and riding on it into Jerusalem, Jesus is fulfilling prophecy from Zechariah 9:9, which Zechariah wrote thousands of years before Jesus. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The scriptures prophesy that the Messiah isn't just going to walk into Jerusalem. He isn't going to be carried into Jerusalem on the shoulders of his followers. He isn't going to ride in a chariot into Jerusalem. He isn't going to ride a horse in Jerusalem. He is going to ride into Jerusalem on a young donkey. But again, we think about that for a moment because it may seem like a small matter, but it has huge ramifications. Reminding you of what I said a moment ago, if Jesus had walked into Jerusalem, he would not be the Messiah. The gospel with him as the Savior would not be true. We would all still be enemies of God. We would all still be deserving of wrath. We would all still be dead in our sins and trespasses because the person we put our faith in would not have been our Savior. And see, this is why the gospel writers, including Luke, here in our passage this morning, were so careful to show that Jesus fulfilled all the messianic prophecies.